재미와 지식의 오디오 라이프. 팟빵!
Every Sunday, we start the show with hot new releases. Joining us today is Kayoung Cho. Kayoung has participated in various freelance translation projects. Good morning, Kayoung.
Good morning, Jamie.
So let us begin with some popular new releases here in Korea. What do you have for us?
Yes, today we are introducing a few popular books that have just been out. Number one, we have 지방의 누명. Mm-hmm. 지방의 누명, which in English can be translated as The Innocent Fat.
The Innocent Fat.
Yeah, it is a book written by the producers of a documentary of the same name.
So fat is innocent. Is fat being framed?
Yes. We usually believe that eating fat makes us fat. But this book was based on a documentary illustrating how carbohydrates are the source responsible for the fats in our body, contrary to the regular belief that fat creates fat.
I feel like we've now done the full pendulum swing of diets and returned to the low-carb diet. So we went from low-carb and then we went away from carb and then now we're going back to low-carb. So can you tell us about the documentary?
Well, the documentary draws light on several cases of high-fat, low-carb diets in which the participants lost weight while increasing their fat intake and reducing their carbohydrates. They would cut back on rice, bread, noodles, and simple carbs. They would take in healthy sources of fat such as meat, butter, nuts, and seeds.
So how did they lose weight?
Because fats become their prime source of energy, they will naturally eat less carbs. Mm-hmm. And since fats don't raise insulin levels, it affected their weight loss process.
Oh, I see. So the fat diet is all the rage in all parts of the world where people are trying to lose weight. How did this documentary do?
The documentary was a huge hit in Korea and in the dieting community. Viewers were mesmerized by a meal plan in which you were allowed to eat as much bacon and butter as you want.
Yeah, that's very nice. But you can't have bread. I don't think I'll be able to live without bread.
Me neither. I love all the things made up of flour. The high-fat, low-carb diet received much attention from the public. Mm-hmm. And this book answers your questions in the form of Q&A, supporting it with scientific studies and experiments as evidence.
So the book lures you in with bacon and wins you over with scientific facts.
Yes, the bacon was even more convincing. However, like all diet trends, the LCHF diet was also met with much opposition. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you decide to take up the diet is something you should decide on after reading this book.
Mm-hmm. And well, yes, I hear that knowing your body type is also very important when choosing a diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that you take this chance to evaluate your food consumption is worth the reading the time, in my opinion. Also, the book tells us that instead of drastically changing your food intake, it is important to remember that not all fats are harmful and that if taken in moderation, they can actually help you lose your accumulated fat.
Mm-hmm. So I think, like you said, moderation here is key. I say you can eat whatever you want, but in moderation and don't forget to exercise, especially in the winter when it's too cold outside and you don't want to move anymore.
Yeah.
So what's next on your list?
Number two, we have 엄마의 부엌. Mm-hmm. My Mother's Kitchen is a book of recipes written by a mother and a daughter.
Well, that sounds great. Can you tell us about the mother-daughter pair?
The daughter is a chef of a brunch restaurant and the mother, Im Chun-bun, is an expert in Korean traditional cooking. Mm-hmm. Lee Song-hee is the owner and head chef of two restaurants. She was influenced by her mother's cooking, who conducts cooking classes about Korean traditional food.
So who would you recommend this book to?
To all cooks and non-cooks alike. The daughter, collaborating with her mom, has compiled this recipe for readers who are looking for an easy way out during those weekend dinners.
Mm-hmm, that sounds terrific. And next on your list is a fiction title.
Yeah, it's a Caravel. Stephanie Garber's Caravel is the first book of a series. Mm-hmm. It's a story of two sisters who escape their rootless father from their tiny island.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a wise idea. So what is their plan?
To escape an arranged marriage, they flee to Caravel, the faraway once-a-year performance. Mm-hmm. It is a magical show in which the audience themselves participate as well.
So they literally run away and join the circus.
Exactly. However, Tella, one of the two sisters, is kidnapped by the Caraval's mastermind organizer. Mm-hmm. Although told that everything in Caraval is simply an elaborate performance, it leads to a dangerous game of love, heartbreak, and magic.
One of the taglines for this book said, quote, "The closest thing you'll ever find to magic in this world." It sounds very, very intriguing.
Yeah, very enticing. Mm-hmm. Companying with other players, the Five Nights of Caraval ends up as an unexpected adventure of two sisters.
Can you also tell us about the author of Caraval, Stephanie Garber?
Stephanie Garber teaches at a private college in Northern California. Caraval is her debut young adult fantasy novel. Mm-hmm. She is preparing the entitled sequence to Caraval and the movie rights to her book were pre-exempted by 20th Century Fox.
Definitely looking forward to the movie as well. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a quick song break here. Here's Boyce Avenue, Water Runs Dry.
We don't even talk anymore.
Now, let us move on to domestic and international book news. What do you have for us?
Ashes and Red, a novel by author Pyeon Hae-young, was mm-hmm. chosen as a 2016 Book of the Year in Poland.
Oh, congratulations, Pyeon Hae-young. Can you tell us about the prize?
It was an honor given by the Poland literature online community, Granita. The Book of the Year is selected based on a vote by the readers.
Mm-hmm. And then the critics weigh in.
Right on point. The works on the shortlist are then assessed by experts. Ashes and Red was said to be one of the most fascinating works and that it was a book that reminded readers of Albert Camus.
Oh, that is high praise. Can you tell us about the writer, Pyeon Hae-young?
Sure. Pyeon Hae-young was born in the year 1972 in Korea, has written several works such as Honey Bopchik, which in English is The Laws of the Lines. Mm-hmm. Having won many prestigious awards, she is currently working as an arts and literature professor in Myeongji University.
Mm. So is Ashes and Red available in other languages besides Polish?
Certainly. Ashes and Red has been sold across the states, France, China, and Vietnam. Her latest book, Hor, is to be published in America this August as well.
Our next news item, controversy surrounding the New York Times bestseller list.
There has been some controversy regarding NYT. Effective from last week on the 5th of February, New York Times has eliminated some of its bestseller list. Mm-hmm. List of graphic novels, Magma, mass market, paperbacks, teen ebooks, and middle grade ebooks has been eliminated.
Mm-hmm. So has the New York Times given an explanation for this change?
In a way, the NYT states that it was to cover all the genres and to evaluate and revamp its book publishing coverage. Mm-hmm. Despite the statement, many publishers were stunned by this sudden change.
Mm-hmm, I can imagine.
It is said that these changes will no doubt affect sales, and this unexpected move was met with outrage from the graphic novel community as well.
Tell us more about this outrage from the graphic novel community.
Comic Professional says that the launch of graphic novel bestseller list led to an increase in sales by 11%. Mm-hmm. This drop of graphic novel bestseller list led to a further controversy of whether or not it was discrimination against a minor genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a shame because some of my favorite books are graphic novels.
I agree. It's a huge pity. Peggy Burns, publisher of Drawn and Quarterly, said that this list supported the underdogs. It is undeniable that the absence of NY Times bestseller list will lead to less publicity and exposure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope that the New York Times revamps its coverage and brings back the list.
I hope so as well.
So what's next?
Well, fans of Indian novelist Arundhati Roy, I have some good news for you. She has returned with a fiction work after her first fictional work 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, Arundhati Roy is, of course, best known for The God of Small Things. I can't believe that it was 20 years ago already that this book came out. But she has been publishing in recent years, right?
Yeah, that is true. Over the past decades, she has published essays and nonfiction works closely related to Hindu nationalism, mm-hmm. government corruption, inequality, and environmental issues. However, it's the first fictional book that's getting all her fans excited. She is to make a comeback this summer with The Ministry of Utmost Happiness.
Mm-hmm. Well, she seems certainly committed to that pattern with mm-hmm. her book titles, the five-word title with the noun of adjective mm-hmm. noun, the God of small things, the Ministry yeah. of Utmost Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the God of small things.
Aruhati Roy's first fictional book, The God of Small Thing, was published in 1997 and won the Booker Prize, with praise from readers and experts alike.
Mm-hmm.
Sold in more than 42 languages, it was a huge hit and sold more than 8 million copies worldwide.
And what was that story about?
The story centers on a South Indian family exploring themes of religion, caste, and class division.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us about her new book?
Her new book is set in an Indian subcontinent, and she has worked on this work for nearly a decade. She states, "I have lived with the characters in this book for close to 10 years.
Wow, that's longer than most relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So how did she spend the 10 years writing?
Well, I wouldn't say she devoted 100% of that 10 years only to writing.
Mm-hmm.
During this period, she actively participated in politics and traveled to the jungles of central India to meet the Maoist insurgents, a group whose cause she has sympathizes with.
Mm. The insurgents are clashing with the state, and as a champion of peace, Arundhati Roy seems to be lending voice to their strife. Well, that's it for this week's Hot New Releases. Thank you so much, Kayong.
Thank you, Jamie.
Coming up next is Talk It Up, but first, here's M-Print featuring Good Girl, One Sweet Day.
So